See you again this evening. It's been a beautiful day. And I appreciate the opportunity once again of being with you and hearing once again some beautiful hymns that we can sing and praise our Lord and go to Him in prayer. Appreciate the prayers, the opportunities of us to come together from time to time and be able to blend our thoughts and our minds in a prayer as we approach God's throne. Appreciate those thoughts and wonderful songs that we have sang. They truly praise God, and that's what we're trying to do here as we come together in a worship service such as this. 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. John mentions something there that he doesn't know. And I want to talk about that for just a little while. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." And it's interesting the way he starts the chapter, because he talks about things we know and things that exist and things that different people know and don't know. He says in verse 1 that the world does not know us, but the Father has bestowed upon us this idea of love that the world doesn't understand. But then in verse 2, he says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Imagine the one who really wants to see God, who wants to be with God in heaven. They truly are convinced that this is how life is going to end. "I will pass from this life into the very presence of the Lord and hear, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.' And as a result, then, I will live my life according to that great promise." But this great promise, there's a lot of things we don't know. And when he makes a statement here, there's a lot of things the people of the world don't know us. They don't understand us. They don't understand the concept of faith. But he goes on to say, "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be." I'm not sure of all the thoughts he has in mind. What will it be like in the presence of the Lord? What will it be like in heaven? What will it be like on the other side of life? Where will we be? That may not even be a concept in the eternal world. What will we do? How will we exist? Those are just things that's just not revealed to us. But he's talking about things that make us have a faith that allows us to continue on this life. "But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." There's a song, I have sung it many times. I know you have too, but I was looking for it in our hymn book. I couldn't find it. There's a song, hymn called "Farther Along." "Farther along we know all about it. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and dreary. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wickedly year to year." And the chorus is, as we many times have sang, "Further along we'll know all about it. Further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by." And that's kind of the idea of that song, that hymn. And like I said, I may have been looking under the wrong title. It may be in our hymn book. But when we think about that idea, John is helping us here in 1 John 3 to think about the things that are ahead. He said, we'll be like Him. And don't know what that's going to be, but apparently that truly is a blessing. And for John, just as John says that, when he says, "But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That was enough for John. He didn't demand all of the answers to all the questions that we could ask. And he was satisfied at the idea that farther along we'll know all about it. So I want to talk for just a little while about some of these things that we don't know, that we live with every day. And it's a pretty practical sermon because every one of us know it. We live with things we don't know every day. The unknowns of life. We must admit there are many things that happen in life that we don't understand. We don't know why they are, and there's many things that we don't know about life. Remember back in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, Moses said back there, the secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and our children. I mean, even Moses wrote about things that would not be revealed for us. In Proverbs, we're reading Proverbs, well, Gary was reading from it. In Proverbs, the third chapter, there's a statement made back there in verse 32. Proverbs 3 and verse 32. He says, verse 31. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. They're just things we're not going to know in life, and there's just things we're not going to know about life. We can, every one of us can ask far more questions than we're going to get answers from, and maybe answers that we couldn't understand if they were given to us. And yet, we do have answers that help us go through this life. 2 Peter, the first chapter. There's just this one statement made there, that verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that what? His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What more could we want? And this is what Peter is saying. Those things stand out as what God has given unto us. Or, look with me in Titus, the book of Titus, the second chapter. We read down beginning in verse 11. Might be able just to quote that one. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. There have been things made known to us. Those things that pertain to life and godliness, we've got them right here written for us and recorded for us. The grace that teaches us salvation is recorded right here and can lead us through life. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, all Scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good thing. I mean, the way we should live our life has been revealed unto us, and other questions, although they may be important questions, they may be serious questions, other questions, we're just going to have to mark that down under the category of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1, when he talks about that very idea. Faith is what over there? Faith is the assurance of the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Things not seen. The things that are not seen, we're having to deal with right here in our service to God. And we have to trust God for his revelation, the things he has made known to us, that God certainly must know the answers. And we are told that he's got the ability. Ephesians, the third chapter. Read this with me. Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 20. Yeah, Paul writes this. He says, now to him who is able. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. There must be just mountains of information and things that we can't know and we won't know until maybe we're on the other side. And then maybe not then, even then. I don't know if you could say that the angels know everything about it. But when we talk about the unknowns of life, how we live life, what are our thoughts about life, what should lead us and guide us, it's been revealed to us as to how to live with life and godliness, and what is that grace of God that teaches us salvation and that we are complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. All of those things have been revealed to us. Now, all the questions we might come up with are just our questions. We can trust that God knows it, since we read there in Ephesians 3:20 that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So may it be that never do we allow the questions and the mysteries of life, the things we don't know, undermine our faith in the Lord. Because there's a lot of things, because we have that idea in this life today, because it's a lot of things you don't know can get you in a lot of trouble. But the things we do know about our Lord, the things that we have read here, are things that will lead us to the very throne of heaven. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But it is important for us to understand these unknowns are something that can be taken care of. Look with me over in Luke 8. Jesus makes a statement over there, and I don't know if you could apply it completely. I think he's talking really about the judgment to come and our life. That seems to be within the context of what he's getting at, but it may be that when the judgment comes, this verse will be far more powerful. Luke 8, verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Verse 17 is his explanation. Verse 17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Jesus said, therefore take heed. We will be judged, and every word and every thought we have will stand before and stand out before God. It may very well be everything comes out. It seems like he's talking about everything we will be judged for is there. But this idea of the unknowns of life and the I don't knows of life is true. But all of the things we need to know have been given to us through the power of the Word of God. That's something good to know. But let me suggest to you another one. The idea, not just the unknowns of life, but the uncertainties of life. Look with me over in 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. Paul brings up a question that was concerning them. And he'd been talking about it in the previous chapter. And it's this idea, well, when is the Lord going to return? And how is that all going to happen? Well, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as what? As a thief in the night. Which means he's going to come when? When we don't know it. When we're not prepared, if we're not prepared. That's a good point. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. Brethren, you know and understand the plan of salvation. You understand that the Lord controls all things. And when that day is ready to come, the Lord will be the one in charge of it. And if we're walking in the light as He is in the light, then we will be prepared. I just shake my head when I hear all of this stuff of everybody who's talking and writing books about they've seen something, they know when the Lord's coming back at some time next year. And always, I just say, so what? So what if you know when the Lord's coming back next year? The point today is to do what? Walk in the light as He's in the light. And if He comes 3 years from now, or you die in a car wreck tomorrow, you're ready and prepared to meet the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. He says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. But you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. There are times when life can be uncertain, and we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, from one day to the next with regard to this life, and it seems like we're living through one of those times today. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to the economy. We don't know what's going to happen in some terroristic threat or some plot around the world, or I don't know, everything else you can imagine about it. Global warming, just hundreds of things that can happen. Part of uncertainty, and especially living this life, and that's really what we're talking about, part of uncertainty was that we haven't lived through those times before. And many times the older folks can really and truly have the understanding here that many younger ones don't. Sometimes uncertainty can only be alleviated by just going through it. A first-time mother who is pregnant and she's facing her first delivery is a lot of apprehension. If you've had two or three children, it doesn't mean it's a snap, but you know what to expect. Stock markets have always fallen. They've always gone up and down. There have always been wars. I don't know how many wars are going on right now in the world before. There have always been diseases that came and went. It's interesting to me. I'm watching a fellow on television, and he was talking about, and he was showing a graph of how pandemics go. And it was fascinating how they just explode highly, and then there's sort of a second round and a third round, and then it begins to play out. And they don't know why that curve works with all of the pandemics that have happened in history, but I sure don't understand it. And this is just part of those uncertainties that always happen in life. And if you were there, you couldn't have stopped it either. But people live through it, and they get over it, and they recognize that we can lose a lot of things in this life. And when I place my faith and my trust in God, in the gospel, it helps me get through it and face it and then move on. And that I have the promise of God. 1 Corinthians 10, please. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I have the promise of God that, and I don't know how he does it, but that he's watching me. His eyes on the sparrow, so I know he watches me. So I read 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. Every stock market crash has been like every stock market crash. Many people lost everything. Every civil war has been exactly the same. A lot of people died and suffered. A lot of diseases are the same way. He says, there is no temptation taking you except that is such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what is able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I don't know how he does that. That's just what he says, though. Somehow, he will make a way if we would but trust in him. God told Abraham one time that his wife Sarah was going to have a baby. And he laughed about it. Well, they both of them laughed, didn't they? And she had a baby. I sure don't know how all that happened. Because he was 100 years old. But when Paul is talking about it over in Romans, the Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans, the fourth chapter, he makes a connection to us and about our faith. Romans, the fourth chapter, and we read down, we can't read all of it. Great section, but let's see, verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham was fully convinced that what God promised, he could perform. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him to righteousness. Now notice this, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. God's made the same promise. If we will be convinced and live by and serve with regard to his promises, he will make it happen. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You know, I have all these questions again, and one of them is, I don't know how God does all of that, but he does it. He promises a 100-year-old guy that he can be the father of a child. And that's exactly what happened. And so, when Jesus comes, Jesus makes, along the same lines, the very kind of promises. Look with me back in Matthew. Back over the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, the sixth chapter, we read, again, we can't read it all. Matthew 6, verse, and you get the gist of the whole point he's making here, but Matthew 6, verse 30, Jesus says, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and is tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And you could see the argument he's making that God has promised to take care of and uphold those created in his very image. If he takes care of nature, he's going to take care of those created in his very image. The necessities of life, in this case clothing, will be taken care of. It's promised to us. Look over into the eighth chapter. Eighth chapter. Again, he's on a ship this time, or a boat, and there's a large storm. And we will drop down to verse 25, Matthew 8, verse 25. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marvel. We not only have the oversight and the protection and the care of our Lord with regard to the necessities of life, like clothing, but we have the protection of Almighty God about those uncontrollable things that we can't deal with. And even if we go through them, we have the promise of God, I will be with you. And well, look on over at Matthew 14. He's in a big storm again out there in the middle of the ocean, and the 14th chapter. And this is where Peter asked him if he could come to him and walk on the water to him. And he says in verse 29, Matthew 14, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Man, imagine having the creator of the universe there, making promises, and these are not the only ones, but making promise after promise after promise of care for you. And he said, "I'll take care of you. We're all going to face death. We're all going to go through difficulties, but I'll be with you. I'll take care of things." And then to have him look right into your eye and say, "Why did you doubt?" It's kind of like he said, further along, we'll endure all of life's uncertainties. We'll get through it. 100 years from now, we'll all have passed to the other side. But while we're living this life, all of the uncertainties are under his control. Well, that's so, so very important. Look with me with the last one. Look back in Ecclesiastes. You've read this chapter or this verse before. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. "I returned and saw under the sun." Under the sun is a phrase that's used over and over and over in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's simply talking about living life without the concept of God, without living for God or anything like that. I mean, you're just making money, and you get money, and you pay bills, and then you die. That's about really the way they're looking at it here. He says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For men also, man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." Life has a certain amount of inequities in it. I mean, we know that. Life's not fair. We live with this idea that we don't have a promise that we're going to live to be 75, 85, 105. We don't have that. There's no guarantee for the justice that we might desire in life. Just the way we see things happening today, criminals receive little punishment at all, little prosecution. It's almost become a political football that people are throwing back and forth, while crime seems to just keep growing in our society. I don't mean it's just people out in the streets, but I mean, large companies can cheat employees out of benefits and savings and things of that nature. It seems as if there is no justice in this world. And that may be the way that many people look at it. But not all wrongs are made right in this life. We know that. But when we are wrong, we need to stop and think about, God understands this. God knows this. In Ecclesiastes, and back up with me to Ecclesiastes 5. Another thing that God sees, and it's beyond our comprehension why we would allow this. He would allow it. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. "If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at it." Don't be stunned at it. Don't stop what you're doing and give up. He goes on to say, "For high officials, watches over high officials, and higher officials are over them." He is saying God's watching. There are those who are over. If you go and look over, we won't go over there and read it, but over in Psalms 33, in verse 13, he says, "The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men, and from the place of his dwelling, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth." He sees it. He knows about it. The judge understands it. Justice really life on this earth is about how God dealt with justice. And in one very important way, God dealt with justice at the cross, didn't he? He made it so that his Son, the Son of God, the eternal divine Son of God, would come into this world and die on the cross for us. Titus 2, let me just read that for you. Titus 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He died on the cross for all iniquity. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be righteousness of God. That we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's the justice that God has in mind. Maybe it's not a justice that we would think of, but there's the other side of it. If we want the justice of God, we need to come to God through the gospel of Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, and follow him and serve him and be identified with him. And if one doesn't come to accept God's justice through the cross, they're going to deal with it in another way. And it won't be through the cross. It'll be through judgment for all eternity and banishment. Depart from me, ye wicked, into everlasting fire. And if you kind of put all of it on that scale, it really minimizes what we're seeing and what we call injustice, and it doesn't make it right, but recognize it's going to be addressed. Hebrews 10, verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge. Yeah, there's a judgment coming. Jude, the first chapter, or just Jude 1, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah is taken care of. God is God. He sees all. And all of the unknowns of life that we don't know, all of the uncertainties that we deal with, he understands. And all of the inequities, he'll deal with. Let us be people who take the gospel of Christ and live by it. Let's go back with me to the passage we started with, 1 John, the third chapter, and we read verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Thankful. How much praiseworthy is it? We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we deal with life, man, it can be hard. There can be so many tears shed on the part of so many people. God's watching. God knows. God understands, and he'll handle it. Let us be people that walk in the light as he is in the light. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we haven't been talking about the plan of salvation, but if you haven't rendered obedience to the gospel, if you haven't had the faith to stand and confess his name with a determination to be baptized into Christ, you need to do so. You need to have that determination. And if you're a child of God, maybe you've slipped back into the world. You're not living as you should, and you're not living according to the confession that you made when you believed that he was the Son of God. You need to make things right. If you're subject to heaven's call this evening, would you please come? We stand and sing.